Last Sunday, I was in Shakota, and they were having a church family there, which is where we grew up and Dad preached for 35 years. They were having a 100-year anniversary and celebration, and so I was honored to be able to preach, even though, and the preacher announced me this way, I wasn't their first choice, and that's okay. Dad was the first choice, and so I understood that. And but anyway, we had a great time down there, and so I was not here last week to hear Bob's announcement, but I about the building proposal and renovations. But it's kind of trickled back to me that Bob took a couple jabs at my expense in my absence last week. That's what I've been told, Bob. I don't know how credible that is. One was that instead of the OSU orange, that I wanted OU red for the new carpet for the remodel, and that would happen about the time that I regrow hair, is what I heard. So I wanted Bob to know that someone gave me some Rogaine this week, and I want you to know, and you watching at home, be looking for that OU red carpet in an updated rendering soon to come. Okay, hold on. I'm getting out of line here. So we had 49 here this morning at the 8:30 service. We have 96 watching online, worshiping online. Glad you're with us from Texas, Iowa, Saskatchewan, Canada, Arizona, and an unknown state. So glad you all are with us, and hope you're doing well. Who knows what we have a carpet color and everything picked out, but everything's subject to change. Keep pushing for that OU red. Honestly, this is an exciting time for us. It is, and I appreciate Bob last week, you know, talking about the transition in his mind, kind of warming up to the idea of from pews to chairs, and that's different. And church, you know, worship and in a church building has always been pews, and that's a mental change for sure. And so some of these things are certainly, you know, preferences, and that's understandable. I want to reiterate what Bob mentioned, that a couple things helped him. One, learning that to replace pews with pews is an additional $40,000 price tag. And so it's a reason why many churches, you'll notice, are when they do replace pews, they go to chairs. $40,000 is hard to swallow in that respect. And then the irony, really, and I assume a number of you have had the opportunity to sit in the ones in the foyer. The irony is how comfortable they are. In fact, they're more comfortable for me, and I would encourage you to drag one in here. You'll be surprised the comfort in comparison. So in the end, there will still be preference, and so don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to talk you into loving chairs over pews, but I think it will be good for us in the long run. And sometimes I've kind of had thoughts that come in, such as when we talk about the amount that would be spent on this, thoughts about, you know, hey, this is church money, and what could be done with this amount of money in other, you know, places or missions or ministries and those kind of things. And so sometimes that becomes a mental hurdle. And I would just point out a couple things. Number one, how many of us in our homes still have carpet we had in 1984? Or how many of us still have furniture in our homes that we had in 1984? And so then my thought comes in, but Elliot, that's, you know, what I do with my personal money, that's personal money, but what we do with God's money is different. And yet the truth is, it's all God's money. And what I do with my personal money is God's money, because I've surrendered my whole life to God. And so we can't look at some parts of our life and say, well, God has no business in this part. I you know, spend it how I want. God's business is in all parts of our life. So the truth is, it is time. It is time. We've had this carpet for since 1984, and if some of you don't know how long that is, roughly about that time, I think 1 year earlier, the invention of the camcorder. Do y'all remember these? Anyone remember these original cam? This is not a news channel camera here. This is a personal home, you know, owned camcorder where the whole VHS kids, they used to make these tapes. VHS, you've seen these, right? In a box somewhere. VHS tapes, and that whole tape would sit in that camcorder. And you'd do it on your shoulder because it's so heavy. Anyway, that's about the era. And then this is the same year that this building, carpet pews, 1984, the original Apple Macintosh. Anyone remember that? This is where the mouse came from. See that? This is cutting-edge stuff. I remember my brother coming home from college, and he bought himself one of these. And so this was space-age technology. But we have a small campaign that's not gaining a lot of traction, the hashtag Save the Orange campaign. And Knott and I are heading that up, and right now we have two of us in that. We're trying to figure out some way to save some of this orange and put it somewhere, maybe wrap the baptistry in some of this remnant of the orange. Anyway, Brian, talk to him. He really big on Save the Orange. It's an exciting time. It's a good time to do this, you know, ironically, if you want to think of it that way, but we're using the building so little, and so it is a good time for us to do that. It's a good time to be relocated across the street for a number of weeks because we're not all able to be here anyway, and so it's a good time to try to do two services over there when that time comes. And I also think it's good to be able to accomplish something during a time period when so many things are canceled. There's so many things we can't do like we used to do. We could not do the church picnic like we used to look forward to doing as a church family. And so to be able to accomplish something and move forward with something is, I think, exciting. So I want to just wrap this part up by saying that Bob mentioned last week the price for the entire, let me flip back a couple, for the renovation is roughly $100,000. Half of that money has already been set aside in the church funds, knowing that this was coming. And then the elders are seeing if the other half, another 50, could be pledged or see how much of that could be pledged. And if you're comfortable doing that, you're comfortable pledging, okay? And so right now we have 15,000 of that 50 that's been communicated to the elders, been pledged to them, so predicted and planned. And so anyway, church, be praying about this. I want to point out that this is not easy for all of it. I don't know how many we have today, over 130, I'm going to say. We don't all have the same mindset or the same preferences and same thoughts and same opinions, right? And that's why it's always challenging for a church to do major things like this. It's why the devil loves to come in and make a mess of it. So the elders want you to communicate to them your thoughts on this, and so please do so, and also be praying about it. And if there's an amount that you feel comfortable letting them know that's your plan, then please do that as well. Okay, so I want to preach on this topic today, radical generosity. And so I want to point out, please understand that this sermon is, I'm not good at multitasking, but look there, there's my timer. I have to have that. This sermon is not about trying to get you to give more. So I want you to know that right out of the gate. But this sermon is one in which I hope to help us understand the blessing that giving is. And our theme this year is radical living. And so we're not, as Christians, our goal is not to be kind of in God's camp or kind of a Christian or you know, moderate fire for God, but we want to be all in, and that's in different areas, and one of those is generosity. So, you know, this is probably the most well-known scripture in all the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave. Go to the very beginning of your Bible, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God gave, it says created. But why did he create? He created for us, for you and I. Isn't that something? You've been somewhere on vacation and seen some part of God's creation and you have been amazed by it. He made it for you. That's quite a thought. God is a giver. And he's not a halfway giver. He is a generous giver. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. God gives generously. And Paul and Barnabas were at Lystra in Acts 14. They're at Lystra and they're talking to this crowd. And they're trying to communicate to a crowd who doesn't know God yet. And they say, he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Truth is, God has given to every person on this planet, whether they believe in him or not, whether they serve him or not. And we, you and I, we know God. And so we can be extra, and not extra, we can be thankful to God for what he has blessed us with. Let's face it, we are a very blessed people. And I want to point out just a few things that may seem obvious or may seem maybe things we take for granted. But the cars that we drive are for the most part dependable. Right? For the most part. They do break down once in a while, don't they? I'm proud of my 99 Silverado pickup. And the thing that I love about that, that I love the most, is on a really hot day, I would not trade that for any of your better vehicles. I wouldn't do it. Because on a really hot day, my AC blows cold and it has a small space to cool. And it is awesome. Our vehicles make us comfortable, don't they? Cool air, hot air. Listen, we can't even agree on how hot or cold. You turn yours, right? Dual climate control, if you have that in your vehicle. Listen, you put yours where you want it. I'll put mine where we want it. And we'll go down the road together. We're so pampered. Heated seats, heated steering wheels, right? Steering wheel's too cold. Need that warmed up. So we have some comforts. You know, Bluetooth, satellite, DVD. We got our mechanic to do a bypass on our DVD player from the factory. They don't want you watching that when you're driving down the road. But anyway, it's great for vacation. Four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive, power everything. We are pampered in our homes. We want it hot. We want it cold. We change that. We have machines that wash everything. Our clothes, they dry it. Our dishes, they heat our food, cool our food, freeze our food, make ice for us. I mean, things we take for, we don't think are a big deal because we've had it for years. But aren't we pampered? We have clean, running water, lots of it, and it's cheap. Clean. I water my yard with it. You can, right? Pure water that most of the world would covet. And we can throw it out in our yard so our grass looks nice. We are blessed. And I say all this not to try to make you feel guilty for what you have, but to remind us how blessed we are. Very, very blessed. And may we not pat ourselves on the back thinking we've worked so hard for it and good for us, but may we remember who gives every good thing. And may we thank God for how much he's blessed us. And Scripture tells us, God does bless us, but he wants us to be generous with it, and that's the point of this sermon. Have you ever noticed there's something innate about generosity? Look at a toddler, 18 months to 36 months, or 30 months, 18 months to 30 months, a toddler age will give you anything. They don't care what it is. Be their toy, they're givers, that age, right? They'll be eating something. You want some? They can't talk to you, but they'll give you. They'll give you whatever they got, whatever they have. They're givers. And to me, in that, I see we're made in God's image. And I see just me. I think I'm seeing a little bit of God's nature there. He's a giver. Now, then comes the terrible twos. So we also have our flesh, and the flesh is selfish. Luke 12, Jesus talks about this, and he says, take care, be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So God gives us, he gives us what he gives us, but it's not for us to be prideful about it. It's not for us to think we're better than someone else. And it's not for us to be selfish. Then he tells a story, Jesus does, about a man who had a problem. And his problem was, his problem wasn't that he had too much grain, because he had a big harvest. I mean, he was doing well. He was a farmer, and he had crops, and he had a lot of them, and he had them in his barn. He stored his crops in his barn, probably grain. He filled up the barns. But his problem was he still had more grain. So what did he do? He tore down his barns and built bigger ones. And he had this mentality, and Jesus, the way Jesus explains it, he said, I have ample goods laid up for many years. I'll relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Do you hear the selfishness? It's not bad that he had a lot. It's not bad that he you know, made bigger barns to store it. What was bad is his selfishness, his self-centered attitude about it. And Jesus tells him, this very night your life will be taken from you. That was the night that he was to die, and he didn't know it. And so Jesus then makes this statement, verse 21, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So generosity, God gives generously to us. And as long as we continue to be generous, everything is good. It's when we become selfish that there's a problem. So 1 Timothy 6:17 says, for the rich, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor set their hopes on things, on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. It's not bad to have things. It's not bad to enjoy things. It is bad to put things before God, and it is bad to be selfish with things. But verse 18 says, they are to do good, be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves. You, church family, you are a generous family. This is a generous congregation. We put before you on the, well, the backpacks. I thought Karen put up way too many backpacks. I thought there's no way the church, but I didn't tell her that. I tried to be positive. I thought we can't do it, but you did it. The joy boxes, the goal was 50 boxes. You did over 100. When needs are presented in areas that we support, Liberia, money was sent there to help them build. This has been a year or two ago, but remember when they were making blocks for their church building, they were making them themselves. You collected money, and it was sent. For flood victims, it was collected and sent. For Canada, for Belgium, all different needs. It is a pattern here that this church family steps to the plate and exceeds it. That's generosity, and that is from God. God teaches us that. I want to share three quick scriptures, and I want to contrast these with this false doctrine of health, wealth, and happiness. And that's a false doctrine in the Christian world today. The idea that God wants you wealthy, God wants you healthy, and God wants you happy, and in the ways we define those as humans. The reality is, God doesn't want us all wealthy. His disciples weren't all wealthy. Jesus was not materially wealthy. It's not bad to be wealthy. Does that make sense? It's not bad or wrong. But God doesn't, that's not God's goal for us, you know, physically. His goal for us is spiritually. But if we are wealthy, if we do have more than someone else, we're to be generous. We're to consider those less fortunate, right? But God is the one that gives us And if we are generous, he continues to reward us. And that's what I want to point out in these three scriptures. Luke 6:37, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. So the more we are generous, the more God will reward us, give to us. Doesn't say exactly how. We'll get into a couple more scriptures, though. But he says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Hey, you give and God is going to reward you for that. What's weird is common sense says if I want to be happy, I should be stingy. Right? Mine. The terrible twos. Because the more I have, then I ought to be happier. That's common sense. But it's ironic that the opposite is true. There is such joy in blessing someone else, isn't there? Amen. There's such joy in being in position to be able to give something. And maybe it's not even financially. Maybe it's in some other way. Look at Proverbs 11:24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. That's ironic. That doesn't make sense humanly. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. There's blessing in giving. And then 2 Corinthians 9:6. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Now, we use this a lot of times to talk about weekly contributions. That's not the context, although it is giving for church need, and this they're collecting money for Christians in Jerusalem, but principles are given here. Each one should give as he's decided, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The point here is give cheerfully. Give cheerfully, and if we give generously, God rewards us generously. And Jesus said in Acts 20:35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I think the older we get, and Christmas time is an example of this. When you're young, you're excited about Christmas because of presents you would receive. The older you get, am I not wrong about this? The older you get, you're excited about Christmas because you're of the present you're giving. You want to see someone open. And maybe it's because you're older and younger kids are excited about presents. But there's joy. There is such joy in giving. Yesterday, yesterday is about noontime. I was tired. I was hungry. And so Abby was with me and we swung by Brahms. We were going to go to Brahms, get lunch, go home and eat. I just wanted to get to the house to sit down and eat, okay, to paint the picture of my mentality. So we're about to go to Brahms, and Abby says, can we pick up something for my friend? She lives on the way. Could we drop it off on the way? I said, hun, not today. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I just want to get this and get home. She says, well, she has a real bad migraine. And the reason she was asking me, she has a bad migraine, and her parents are going to have to take her to urgent care in a little bit. And I know it would cheer her up. I know it'd make her, feel a little better. And I said, have you already said something to her? Did you already text her? And she said, yes. And I said, hun, that's not how we do this. And so I was in a pickle then. Of course, I agreed to it. We did it. Got chicken strips, chocolate shake, drove it over there. Physical part of me was not happy about it. But the spiritual part... I knew from the beginning this is a good thing. This is a thoughtful thing, right? It's a generous thing. And I was proud of her for that, and I told her for that, and I also confessed my irritability about it physically. But anyway, we get to the house. She goes up. She takes her the food, hands her the shake. I'm doing something, I glance up, I see him on the porch, the girl's holding her, shaking her food, and she gives Abby a bear hug. And in that moment, that picture in my mind, to me, captures what Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's something very special that happens when we give. And what is special is we bless the recipient, and then we, the giver, are blessed. Do you know what that feels like? Do you know the joy of being generous? It's a special thing. And you don't have to be rich to be generous. You don't have to have a lot to be generous. You know what? And yesterday is an example of that. That didn't cost a lot. That's what God is trying to teach us. I'll leave you with this reminder in Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We have an opportunity, and it's not just with this building situation. It will always be this way. As a part of God's kingdom, we have a chance to be generous to something that is an eternal kingdom. It's eternal business. And so in all the ways you have opportunity to give and be generous, be radical about it. Radical generosity. There is a special joy that comes with it, and we are very blessed to be a part of it. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. It's a great song to end on and be reminded of our Savior and what He gave to us, what God gave to us. So we're going to sing this as an encouragement song. If you're here this morning and you have something you'd like us to lift up to God for you, maybe it's just something heavy on your heart. Maybe there's one here this morning who's never given their life to Christ, and you would like to receive salvation and to have your sins washed away and become a part of the kingdom. If you would, we'd love to help you if you'd come while we stand and sing.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. It white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power, and Thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to
Be seated, please.